KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
And now, we step into...
News.
That's right. We're going to bring you some news. We're going to start off with Jason.
Okay, believe it or not, there's a place in Florida called the DRC, which stands for the Dolphin Research Center. Number one, how cool is that?
Okay.
Well, they've been doing all sorts of interesting things to find out more about how dolphins function, which is supposed to be leading us to stuff about how humans function, since in a lot of ways they actually function similarly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stumbled upon one way that is nowhere near similar, because... they were trying to figure out things about how dolphins mimic each other, because it seems to be a pretty normal behavior for them and humans.
Right.
And I'm not sure what brought the idea on, but they decided to blindfold some of the dolphins for these mimicry exercises.
Okay.
And pretty often they actually did better blindfolded mimicking other dolphins than they did without, because they were just using echolocation to do all of the stuff.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, basically Daredevil is alive and well, and he's a dolphin.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't mind seeing that comic.
Right. Along with the weird little, like, eek, boom, 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 boom.
Echo the Dolphin is Daredevil, starring Ben Affleck as...
Echo.
As
Spider-Man.
As Dare Echo. I don't know.
Echo Devil. I don't know.
Something.
So from the depths of the ocean to the near solar system, for lack of a better phrase, NASA has been, you know, obviously NASA is about space and science, which is totally awesome. And the Cassini spacecraft has found trace amounts of polypropylene, which is used in making plastic containers and things like we have that every single day around us. They have found propylene in the atmosphere of Saturn's largest moon, Titan.
No.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? We have
So aliens are already recycling by just tossing their bottles into the atmosphere.
The atmosphere. They unfortunately this particular article was a bit light on some of the greater details, but it is really interesting to see that the
Thank you, USA Today.
Yeah, well, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. But it is just interesting to see that some of these elements that we know and love, for lack of a better phrase, here on Earth are available out in space, and it does kind of make the idea of mining asteroids and things like that seem like it might not be such a bad idea.
It's true.
It's you know, it's still a little bit further out than, you know, heading down to, like, you know, Colorado for mining or down to Alaska for drilling for things. But still, it's like, as humanity looks like it might expand off planet Earth, we won't be completely without materials that we understand from Earth, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's handy. Yeah, because I know a big thing with the Mars thing, too, was like, you know, all the stuff they have to bring with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, from what isn't there. But if we can find and use a lot of stuff
that's already
perhaps
there.
Around there. That's less that we have to take and
exactly
all that jazz.
Save energy, save money, create more science. How awesome is that?
That's pretty cool. I won't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a story that won't lie either, I guess.
There you go.
I did that just for you.
Nice. So from blind dolphins, space plastic, to Marvel and Natalie Portman teaming together for a mentoring program for young women interested in science.
Hey.
See,
hey,
wow. It's still connected. It's circular,
nice.
Sort of.
Nice.
So Marvel's Thor the Dark World Ultimate Mentor Adventure, as they are calling it, aims to put young women interested in STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Mm-hmm. In the real world with successful women in those fields, they will get to ask questions and receive advice from women who are already in the field. To enter, you must be 14 years or older and enrolled in grades 9 through 12. You can fill out the application within the link to the story that I have. And all the links of all of our stories are on our Facebook page. So you can definitely go and check it out there. Interview a successful woman working in a STEM field in your hometown to get you started. They've provided you with some useful tools, a list of potential STEM careers, a handy guide for tips, and interviewing your mentor, and a map of mentors. Last, you will need to create a 5-minute unedited video of yourself, and it shows you where you can name and all that stuff. So I think that's pretty cool.
All right, sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get a wig and... I'm sure you could pull off 9 or 12 years old, right?
It's a staple of television and movie plots, so.
That's true, especially in the 80s.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They did do a few of those.
Hopefully that makes a comeback. Thank you, 80s.
can you go? Well, see, here's the thing. You don't necessarily have to. You're sort of starting anew.
Well, no, I'm going to go with it.
Oh, okay.
All right. From
great. Now you're putting the pressure on.
From nourishing young women's minds to finding boiled ones from 4,000 years ago.
Boiled minds?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It gets better.
But wait, there's more.
They were found in Turkey, of all places.
Interesting.
I know. Yeah. I don't really think that's terrible significant. But anyway, the more interesting part is that they found intact brains from people who lived 4,000 years ago in Turkey, in a settlement that was apparently leveled by an earthquake and then promptly burnt somehow. So I don't know if the earthquake caused a bigger fire or what, but
could be.
Effectively what it ended up doing was burying the people of the town.
Mm-hmm.
They got roasted from above.
Right.
So it roasted the brains in their own juices so that they are near perfectly preserved for today, other than the roasting.
Whoa.
So yeah, there's Turkish brains that are 4,000 years old. Still
wow.
Available in this day and time.
A bad way to die, but it's really interesting to have the science to go back to. It's like they did not die completely for naught.
Well, I'm sure that's a matter of perspective. For them, there probably wasn't much benefit. But
yeah, well,
but yeah, it is pretty interesting too. And yeah, I can't imagine that being a good day for a person. Like, oh, an earthquake. Well, I'm trapped under soil, and now I'm being slowly roasted alive. Is that my brain boiling?
Yeah, I don't think that's really high on their list of thoughts as they're going through the whole situation.
No, I'm pretty sure people can think perfectly while their brains are boiling. There's science, I'm sure. It's out there. It might take me a decade or two to find it. But.
I'm sure there's something out there.
I'm going to be looking for it on golf courses in Florida. Joke that like nobody will probably understand anymore.
Yeah, that's all right.
Go for it.
All right. So, from minds being preserved to legal thought being lost. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Okay. So
that's vaguely mind related.
The Supreme Court has not just the Supreme Court, but when a court hands down a judgment or an opinion, they usually cite elements that make it they give it legal grounding, and they, you know, they it's you know, the whole proof and evidence thing. They have evidence of this by showing it and for a while they've just been adding links to a lot of their opinions and their the documentation about their decisions.
Okay.
And some of these links are beginning to, well, vanish.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Broken links and laws. Bad combo, I'm guessing?
Yes, very bad. But all is not completely lost. Not all is lost completely. Yes. There are several groups that are working on making alternative conservations of links, like, you know, maybe not preserving the original site, but all the information from the site is archived into different locations, and when new ones are added, it creates, you know, semi-permanent, as much as anything's permanent in the digital world, versions of these these pieces of evidence to be found in the future.
Okay.
So it just was a really interesting article on The Verge, kind of like talking about how, like, you know, when you make a paper filing, you can include copies of the documents, copies of the evidence.
Right.
And in the digital world, you don't really have this. It's not quite the same. You can create an archive and attach it to the original document, which would be smart. And I think some, and there are other courts that are in different areas that are doing similar things.
And then you carve the zeros and ones onto a stone tablet. And then it's permanent.
Ching, 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 ching.
But it's no longer digital, but it is binary.
Well, future cell phones will be able to just snap a picture of that and turn it into the entire program. So,
I'm sure something like that could happen. Yeah.
Like I said, science. I'll be able to prove it in like 10 years when it's readily available.
Yeah. So there you go. There's archiving. It's an important thing. You can't get it back unless you back it up. That's
pretty good. Did you come up with that?
Not all on my own, I have to admit.
Okay, I'm so disappointed in you now.
Was it at least someone you know?
Leo Laporte. That's kind of one of his catchphrases that he uses on his tech guy show to help the people that aren't necessarily really entrenched in tech. Like, the show is all about helping people that are struggling with technology or just trying to figure it out. And that's one of the things he likes to harp on is, like, back up your stuff. You can't get it back unless you back it up.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're a tech geek out there and you haven't heard or listened to Leo Laporte, check him out.
It's good stuff. Anyway, the legal documents also should be backed up as well.
Okay.
I would agree. All right, well, yeah, I don't know how to tie this one to that one, but
that's okay.
Some sad news. Tom Clancy, the author, has died. The Jack Ryan creator has passed away. Tom Clancy, the hugely successful writer best known for his novels about CIA agent Jack Ryan, has died at age 66. That's young.
That is a little bit. I was wondering if anybody had details about it. I haven't seen anything, so...
Not sure if the story has any. The author, who was born in Baltimore, Maryland, also co-founded Red Storm Entertainment and lent his name to the hugely successful Splinter Cell and Ghost Recon games. He was also due to continue this tradition with Ubisoft's latest offering, The Division, due out on next-gen consoles next year. But he was best known for his Jack Ryan books with The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, and The Sum of All Fears, all turned into movies, variously starring Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, and Ben Affleck. And now, Chris Pine.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that. He seems like he'd be pretty good for the role.
Yeah, he's set to star later this year in Jack Ryan Shadow One. Yeah, he passed away in a hospital in Baltimore.
Chris Pine did too?
Yeah. But they transported him, so they have a copy of his.
Oh, okay.
So they'll just re-transport, and then it'll...
Thank goodness create for Scott.
A copy.
They saved him in the buffer, and
we'll just fix him in post.
And on that note, the radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you are not near a radio, You can stream us whenever you want at KSEU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. All right, we're going to take a music break and then come back with some more news. So stick around for more Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSEU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I'm going to play the local artist Rogue Wave with Used to It from the album Nightingale Floors.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
News.
That's right. We're back with a few more news stories. This one's going to be a little more lighthearted than my earlier science story. It is still near to my heart.
Last science story was a downer.
So the Chronicles of Narnia are getting another movie. Despite some of its minor disappointments in the box office, they are still going to revive it for another film.
I think the third one was like direct to DVD?
No.
It actually went to the theater?
Yeah, yeah, okay. All of them have been to theater so far.
Oh, okay.
So, it's...
I think we saw it in the theater, if I remember.
Yeah, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Yeah, that was very cool in the theater, I thought. But The Silver Chair is going to be coming out, I think, in...
The band?
No, not Silver Chair, the band.
Although they are still around. Are they going to do like the credits in the end? Or?
I really don't know. But it looks like it's still like really early stages of the development of the film, but it's just an announcement that it's actually going to happen. So here's hoping that it kind of helps put the series back on track, and it should be a good one because it'll be the first story to not feature any of the original four children from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So it's a good chance to kind of refresh and revive the idea and the way the movies kind of look and feel and operate. Although I do still hope that they get Liam Neeson to be Aslan, which I don't think should be a problem. But
he loves voiceover work, especially when he can be a big lion. I mean,
who doesn't like that? Seriously.
And you don't have to, get dressed up and all that stuff. You know, it's just go to a studio, bang out some
recording. He doesn't dress up as a lion.
I guess he could if he wants to really get into character.
Gets really in touch with that method acting style.
Really passionate.
I was kind of hoping. But I thought that was him in the movies. Like,
I don't know,
a really good
are,
applique.
But I'm a lion dressed up as a lion.
Right. I am a lion.
I have a certain set of lion skills.
Good one.
Anyway, the follow-up for that is about a new and interesting way to make a pen.
Ooh.
And it's...
Pens are cool.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. You can write stuff with them or draw.
So, mm-hmm.
A source of much tech news is, of course, Kickstarter. And this is one of the so far successes, although I can't imagine this not following through all the way to the end because it's a fairly simple idea, but a cool one. It's a pen made of sections of magnets.
I think I saw something about that the other day. I didn't get a chance to actually read the story, but I'm curious.
So, yeah, you can basically alter the length of the pen to your desired length.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it be either an actual gold-plated pen with gold-plated magnets, or chromed out, like looking pretty slick, or like swapping the two. And anyway, so it has the normal, like, middle section, which is a fairly basic magnet with a kind of neat little locking mechanism. It's kind of a groove, so they fit together nicely.
Right.
But the tricky thing is you can put the end cap that has a little clip on it, or you can put the pin on the end of that, and then, of course, they have a magnetic cap also for the pen.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it fully customizable between the gold and length and adding the components that you want. It's a fun little diversion when you're sitting at your desk bored. Because you can do all of the normal magnety type things that people love to do in offices.
It's true. If you happen to have that little magnetic whiteboard next to you, you can, like, you know, click, click.
That was another good point from the authors of this article at Core 77.
That is another very cool site. I like that one.
It's pretty cool. I'm not going to build it up too much because I don't want people to be, like, oversold on it. So it's pretty cool. I mean, Check it out if you got time. You know,
Yeah. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Robots Attack. Check out the link to that story on there, and then they can check out the site if they want to.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about that.
And hey, that's what I'm here for.
We're also on Twitter at Robots Attack Me.
Very true. Very true. You can check both, it that way.
Yep. Two ways to find our links.
Okay. So from pens to the next Friday the 13th movie. Could go found footage style.
Okay.
Interesting.
The good folks behind Friday the 13th are reportedly thinking about making the next horror installment a found footage movie. Shock Till You Drop reports that the producers are currently looking for new pitches that will fit into the found footage format. The project is currently set up at Paramount, which has earned quite a tidy sum from its Paranormal Activity franchise in recent years.
Okay.
So it makes sense that they'd want to go a similar route with Friday the 13th. Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes, which produced the 2009 reboot, is still attached to the sequel as well. Regardless of the style, it's likely that Friday the 13th will go the micro-budget route, especially given the success of other bare-bones horror picks like Insidious, The Purge, and The Conjuring. That said, it's not like Friday the 13th is all that expensive to make anyway. And the next one would be the 13th one.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. So what do you think? Does that sound like a pretty good concept for that one?
It'd be an interesting change of pace.
Yeah, I think so.
Like as much as the found footage film has sort of kind of done its thing, but putting it in that against that like very classic slasher storyline would be, I think, would be really interesting.
Yeah, having an actual sort of, you know, recognizable villain as where is he popping out or or something.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. I mean,
it's either going to be the best idea ever or the worst. I mean, that's...
And you know, honestly, they're not all gems. So, I mean,
what are you talking about?
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, they're half of the National Film Archive right there, right?
That's true. I mean,
something like
Jason
that.
Goes to Space or whatever that's called.
Oh, my gosh. Jason X. That one was
I mean, that's
very special.
That's cinema verita right there, right? Like, mwah, just...
eat it up with a spoon. a spoonful of sugar helps the
Cannes medicine. Film Festival, like, winner, right?
Yeah.
For whatever year it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just going to leave that one right there. Just right over there.
Oh, come on.
Just let it stew in its own juices.
Yeah, just going to...
Do you think, though, if they went that route,
would
you want them to have, like, cameos of stars in it, you know? Like, just showing up randomly, you know, as, like, gas station attendant? Or, you know, would you want them to kind of go like that? Or do you want it to be all just nobodies? Like...
I'm actually always sad that they don't do stuff like that anyway. Because, I mean, how much does it cost for a star, well, in a star's life, to just sit in for, like, a minute of a scene, you know?
I don't know.
You're Bruce Willis, who's kind of legendarily upped his cost for, like, a day of shooting.
I guess it depends on how much they're, like, actually interested. I mean, if you're like, oh, yeah, I'd totally be down for that, you know, they would take probably scale or, you know, whatever, like, the bare bones would be that they have to get paid by SAG or whatever. But
right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, like, because, like, Tarantino's films are famous for, like, having cameo appearances of people in them and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm sure it's probably, it wouldn't be unheard of or very difficult to get someone to do that, just, you know. Finding the people that would actually fit the story and stuff like that.
I think it would be kind of cool just to absolutely chock-fill one of those movies with kind of younger stars that you've seen in different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just just so it feels a little bit more familiar and people like us can freak out that, like, oh, there's that kid from that geeky movie and there's the cute girl from the other geeky movie. I think stuff like that would actually go a long ways towards making just about anything a little bit more popular, at least.
Scream 4 was kind of like that.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's made by people who are very popular within that community, so makes some sense.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, sort of following on that trend of unusual visuals.
Ooh, nice. Haven't heard it yet, but I'm sure it's nice.
There is a lake.
Oh, this story.
An alkaline lake, a swamp
This is Medusa's favorite lake.
Yeah. The water of this lake will
actually
calcify or or preserve creatures that drink the water or get in it. And check the links, there are some amazing photographs of these creatures. Now, the photographs, the photographer does mention that the photographs have been posed, so it actually can make a photograph that looks interesting.
Okay.
But the birds that are pictured that's how the birds actually look. He didn't do anything extra to them other than to put them in a pose that would show that they look kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah, the photographer's name is Nick Brand, Brandt. He lives out in East Africa. That's where he works. And this lake has a pH level of between 9 and 10.5.
Well, over 10 billion.
Which is really, really, really not very creature friendly. And it's just fascinating to see these pictures because it preserves them in such a way that they look very otherworldly. There's like still bits of the creature's like flesh and feathers preserved, but they're not like the whole thing anymore. It's just really weird, but they're amazing pictures.
I'll have to check this out on our Facebook page.
Yes.
We'll have the link in the pictures there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That will be cool.
Cool.
Go for it.
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes?
Take them to this lake.
Yeah. They will stay there forever.
That is probably true. Although, if you're using this service, you probably have other things in mind. So I'll continue. But have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
That is right. Again, this story really can't go anywhere from that lake, but I still think it's interesting, and it's a positive for the Xbox One, and so
hey, that's
always good to hear since
some people like to bag on that.
Yeah, according to this article, the new Kinect can understand two people talking at the same time.
What?
The technology powering the new built-in Kinect peripheral for Xbox One can discern between two people talking at the same time. It was revealed during a talk by Microsoft's Phil Harrison during the Eurogamer Expo in London. This second iteration of Kinect can both hear and understand two people speaking at once, and additionally is able to see whether their mouths are moving in a dark room, said new technology lead developer Nick Burton during the session. The new Kinect sensor can detect 25 joints between six different people, as well as recognize who is using the controller, estimate heart rates, and map faces to 1,400 points. Microsoft clarified earlier in the year the Xbox One Kinect camera and microphone will not record or upload conversations, stated in a published document that users are in control of what Kinect can see and hear. By design, you will determine how responsive and personalized your Xbox One is to you and your family during setup. When Xbox One is on and you're simply having conversation in your living room, your conversation is not being recorded or uploaded. So you can relax.
Oh, man.
I know you really wanted to do that.
I wanted to preserve my conversations for posterity.
Yes.
I suppose maybe you could set something up so you could do that for yourself.
No, I'm already disappointed.
I mean, what? Prince has his house wired for sound. You can record anything from pretty much anywhere in his house. According to Kevin Smith.
Right, yeah. At least back in the time when Kevin Smith was there. Yeah. Maybe he was like, no, I don't trust it anymore. The NSA, they're going to take over my home.
Something like that.
You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was cool, and that's, you know.
It is nice to see them kind of like, you know, assuaging some of these fears, these knee-jerk reactions people were having to the idea of this thing being what it is.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's going to be a decent piece of tech, hopefully.
It sounds like this version of the Kinect is the one that they were always wanting to ship, but they just, at the time, didn't have a way to manufacture and mass produce the one that they wanted. So
yeah, at a cost that they'd want to.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting when I saw this story too, a lot of news outlets ended up bundling this story along with PlayStation story that, and our camera will be able to do practically everything the Kinect can do. Yeah. And I don't know how many people actually believe that, but the press felt it was really important to get that out there along with the Kinect story.
Because the PlayStation 4 is not getting any love in the press world at all.
And since it's not going to be attached to it, you know, developers love to spend a whole bunch of time and money on things that... Mm-hmm. Maybe a small percentage of people will end up using. So, yeah, you know,
yeah. Like the
makes
Harry...
total sense.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like the Harry Potter book, iToy device?
Oh, the Wonder Book?
Yeah, the Wonder Book. Like, that's a really cool idea, but how many of them really got made and or even purchased? Because people probably forgot they even existed. It wasn't until like I was just mentioned that the PS4 even has a camera. I'm like, oh yeah, it has a camera.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It could possibly have a camera if you buy the bundle that's available in Europe.
Right. Yes. If you do. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole another issue for a whole another section.
Moving on. Don't worry. We do love the PlayStation 4. It is
a very
cool
device.
System.
It's just there's a lot of winners and losers, and it's like they're both winners, really. Yeah. It's just whether you want one or the other.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. All right, so from technology in your home to technology...
In your pants?
Not quite.
Okay. Already got it.
No, this is this is our robot story for the night. It is a robot, drive to make an affordable prosthetic robotic hand.
Oh.
Affordable.
Okay. And then one of the ways that
I'll take one.
They're working on this is the surge of a 3D printer and the idea of making these parts that you can essentially manufacture on your own at your own space or, you know, be precisely designed to you, like we've mentioned on other occasions, like all of these cool things. So yeah, there's someone working on an actual hand that they're working on a project there.
Is it poseable?
Yeah, it'll be motorized and everything for when it's in
what? Cheap and motorized?
Yeah, it's going to be like a fully prosthetic hand. I just want to do it really the goal is to make it as affordable as possible.
Okay.
There's currently
You were about to say as cheaply as possible.
No, affordable. The project to get it kind of launched is currently doing a Indiegogo campaign. The link will has a link to that as well if you're interested in that.
I'm sorry, but Indiegogo always sounds absolutely ludicrous whenever I hear somebody say it. Every single time.
It's not the best name, unfortunately.
I mean, it's memorable, so they did that.
They got that right.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, because...
So it goes.
Last week, Jason spoke about the mind-controlled...
They successfully got working the first completely mind-controlled appendage. It's from the knee down, and it's being tested on a single person at the moment, but it's pretty promising stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I thought it was neat. That's why I talked about it a little bit.
Very cool. I like it.
Yeah. story's not loading for some reason. I was hoping that asking you about that would have given it a little more time. But
so yeah, it
don't worry.
You can
about
put
it.
Shoes on it. I've heard. It looks pretty impressive. It makes you look like a cyborg, so that's cool.
It's perfect for Halloween.
There you right. go.
All right, well, that's going to do it for news anyway. So
all right,
we're going to take another music break. I'm going to play the band AWOL Nation, the track I'm sure you've probably all heard before, Sail, from the album Back from Earth.
Cool, cool.
So you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, one of the only Geek Central talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. You just heard AWOL Nation with Sail from Back to Earth, and now we are in Geek Talk.
Yes.
Okay, Caleb.
Focused Geek Talk.
First thing.
Yes.
I recently found out that you have never seen The Breakfast Club until yesterday?
Yesterday.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. Wow.
So, your thoughts?
I liked it quite a bit. It was...
We'd have to beat you if you didn't see it. If you feel like you need to hide your honesty from us in this case, feel free and just go with it.
No, fully honestly, I really liked it. It was heavier than I was expecting it to be. I was like, whoa, there's some decent drama going on in here.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I liked it a lot. It was so quintessentially like the 80s film that it was like brilliant at that. And I liked it on multiple levels. I feel a little bit sad for myself that I didn't see it until now. But now that I have seen it, I can now, you know, extol the qualities of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely
has. I feel sad that Judd Nelson didn't become a bigger actor.
I mean, yeah, that too.
It does have its like cheesy moments,
yeah,
definitely. Not, but
yeah.
I mean, when they, you know, partake of the green herb,
yeah,
and they have that sort of montage scene. It's like that's kind of cheesy, but you know,
yeah, it's not any more cheesy than like any other film of the era. So
yeah, oh
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I was yeah. I liked it.
Do you have a favorite character or favorite part or?
Let's see. I thought the first exchange between the administrator and the janitor down over the classified files was that pretty good. I liked that.
Janitor's my favorite character, hands down.
I liked him a lot too.
It's definitely where the. Idea of the, you know, like philosophical janitor came from,
right?
You know, like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely.
That you see in some other parody stuff and everything. It's like,
mm-hmm.
and larger films that did quite well and made people's careers.
true. I don't know if I have like a favorite part just yet. I really enjoyed the whole thing. A friend of mine has a phrase that I thought was that I've come to really like a lot, and this movie kind of like highlighted it, I think, in a really good way. It was the worst thing you've ever been through is the worst thing you've ever been through, regardless of who you are and what like stratus, quote unquote, of the social economic ladder you stand on. You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought that the movie did a pretty good job of highlighting that the human condition is essentially a condition of struggle, somewhat to speak, and like. And so I just thought that was really interesting that way they balance out these like sort of tomfoolery of adolescence with this kind of more philosophical internal struggle of like trying to find your place in the world. And that was really nice.
Yeah, there's definitely more to it than you would think.
Yeah, with the title, The Breakfast Club. it doesn't really inspire a lot of like, this is going to be a nice, insightful, hard, somewhat... occasionally hard-hitting film. No, wait, whoa, yeah, it's It's caught me off guard. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I ended up seeing it when I was really young. It was like one of those Saturday matinee on television, like, showings of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just really weird seeing it when I was nowhere near the intended age.
Right.
But I'd still liked it so much that I ended up watching it like however many dozens of times.
Mm.
It's one of the few like 80s popular movies I don't have a copy of for some reason. I feel like I need to rectify that.
Yeah. they can't be that expensive on Amazon right now.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first time I saw it was in high school in a psychology class. We watched it.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, I could see that definitely being trotted out for that one.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a favorite character or section or moment?
I liked the what would now be considered sort of the goth or alt girl. She's my favorite by far.
Mm-hmm.
She dumps all that stuff out of her bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just dandruff as a like
snow.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. I guess probably Judd Nelson's character, I guess. It has been a while since I've seen him. I'm trying to remember like parts and stuff, but I do remember his exchanges with the principal and some of the others, like, really good, you know, being solid. Oh,
he was a good Han Solo character.
I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know my favorite part, just because of the way he says it. They've left, and the principal's coming back. I guess spoilers. But,
yeah.
And they're not going to make it, so he runs off to the gym to so they can get back in time. And he's getting there, and he's playing basketball. And he's like,
right.
What are you doing in here? And he's like, oh, coach, I'm thinking of going for a scholarship. Like, just the way he says it, like, just busting up.
That was good.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. He was like proto-grunge in that movie, too. Like,
yeah.
With the shoes flopping all over the place and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
It does make me wonder how many people in Seattle like modeled their entire look after Judd Nelson at that point.
I wouldn't doubt that there's a certain amount of truth into that. When we first pulled it up on Netflix, I was like, oh, it's rated R? And then it starts, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I can see why. There's some choice language in there." And then then as it starts getting more like into the psychology of the characters, I'm like, "Okay, yeah, there's a little more. There's a maturity level that would need to be. You'd want to be at to really appreciate some of the aspects of the film." But it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I think half the times that I've seen it, it would have been like the PG-13 version since it was on TV. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder like how much of the stuff I just take for granted as being one way versus another that I need to watch like the actual copy again just to make sure.
Yeah.
I can't remember what year that came out versus Temple of Doom.
Okay. Mm.
Because Temple of Doom was the first PG-13. So if it came out before, it would have to be R because it wouldn't be PG. So
okay, that's a good point. Yeah,
but so okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Yeah. What most people don't know is that we at one point actually made a list of movies that we felt he needed to see because he had been deprived. And somehow that didn't end up on the list because I think we just took it for granted somehow.
Yeah, and most of the list was like, you know, Terminator, Predator, like these kind of sci-fi action movies
that's
and
true.
Stuff. So
we were much more of that mindset at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a point of note, Indiana Jones was 84, Breakfast Club was 85.
Okay. So it could have been. This doesn't have anything to do with Breakfast Club, but I want to say it before I forget.
Huh?
Kurt Russell is joining Fast and Furious 7.
I feel weird saying this at this point, since in the past I was kind of a hater on him, but I watch Vin Diesel on Facebook, and so it was a picture of him like geeking out, like, I can't believe I'm working opticals for Russell. It was kind of cool.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that should be a good mix there. Definitely. Cool. So what else is on the docket for what?
Well, okay. I wanted to bring up something. I don't know how many people know about this or is nearly as obsessed as I am, but a little piece of software called Evernote, which I think is one of the handiest things ever for trying to keep all of your stuff together.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. It's basically note-taking software, but it's like photos and character recognition and annotation, all sorts of stuff. And I know it's made my job like way easier.
Mm-hmm. They also can handle reminders, to-do lists. It's like someone mentioned that one of its minor things is that it's so encompassing that at times it's hard to explain, but it's totally awesome.
Yeah.
You should try it out.
Yeah, just messing around with it, you'll easily find something that you really like using it with is kind of the neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they had a really weird business model because they've basically just been throwing money at the technology and not really worrying about how they were going to make it back other than him making like a pay option, mm-hmm. which barely anybody uses apparently.
Interestingly enough, though, all it takes is 5% to make them profitable.
Oh, man. Well, okay, and that makes sense just because there's so many people using it. It's a pretty popular app.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they finally decided to make their bid on becoming like a big like product company.
Mm-hmm.
And they went at it from an interesting way. They decided to make actual products instead of trying to sell any sort of new version of the software or anything like that. So they decided to make sort of go the Apple route and try and make prestige type of products, mm-hmm. that are related to the realm that they're in, which is note-taking and packing different texts around with you and whatnot. So
yeah,
high-end backpacks, messenger bags, notebooks, pens, all sorts of interesting stuff.
Yeah, they also teamed up with Fujitsu to make a specific Evernote edition of their SnapScan document scanner, which is very useful for doing things like making a mostly paperless office.
Okay. Yeah, I was browsing through it the other day, and it's a really interesting idea because all of the stuff I kind of want,
mm-hmm.
but because they are sort of prestige items, they're not cheap. Like,
no.
Like that document scanner, if I remember right, it's more than three figures by like three times.
No, I don't think so. I could look that up, but I know it's not outrageously expensive.
It costs, best I understood, it costs more than the new Xbox is going to cost.
Hmm.
So it's not cheap stuff. Very, very good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it makes me wonder, because obviously Apple has kind of made this bid, like going completely high-end on everything, and they hit a stumbling block with the new iPhone, because nobody wants the cheap version of an iPhone, apparently. So it's interesting seeing some other company trying to do that, but not make kind of itself the selling point, just trying to make an upgraded item kind of in conjunction with itself,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Evernote edition of the scanner isn't cheap, but it's $500 on their website.
Okay.
One of the main things that I was really excited about is the events and really cool integration things with Post-its.
Oh, okay.
So now, you have the green, the pink, the yellow, and the blue Post-it, and you can have that color assigned to a particular notebook or a particular action or tag or something like that. So when you use their mobile app,
it'll classify it
without having to do it. You just, you know, take your notes, draw your pictures or whatever, snap, it files it automatically for you. And I think that's kind of brilliant.
Yeah. The bad thing about it is that it utilizes other colors besides the orange one. So
Yeah, well,
seeing as how you have an affection for orange. Huh?
I wouldn't say I'm obsessed. I just happen to buy most things in orange.
I just see
other
the
than
world
clothing,
in
oddly enough. But
yeah, I thought that it's really cool. The thing that I was like, whoa, those look like wild and kind of cool, but are really expensive are the backpacks that they had designed. Like, they're really nice, but they are not cheap.
Yeah, they have an interesting aesthetic. Like, they, in a weird sort of way, they seem very British. They're kind of uptight, they're kind of snooty, but kind of cool at the same time. And you don't know, like, whether they've been to the dentist ever. I don't know where that came from, but...
Yeah, I just also like the fact that they designed it with the idea that instead of flopping over, the bag actually stands up.
Right. It's a neat idea.
Instead of having to, like, fumble, reach, grab, find, fold it back over again, you just look, and there it is. And
right. And they made a backpack and a messenger bag that mm-hmm. work that way. It's pretty slick.
Yeah. Cool. And the service is free for most people. Like, you can, if you want to do temporary upgrades, you can get one of the notebooks that has premium service included. But...
I was waiting to find which group of people didn't get it for free.
The service is free. You can just opt to add more cool things to it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Question for you, Caleb.
Hmm.
I would ask this off the air, but I was going to do it anyway. How much time would you like for Caleb's Corner? 15 minutes? 10 minutes?
10 minutes is fine.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Positive.
All right. Well... In just in time for Halloween, that's coming up at the end of this month, you can celebrate the Great Gourd at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 13th and 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Historic Main Street. Don't let Birdemic fool you. For more information, call 650-726-9652. Okay, well...
Oh, my gourd.
Oh, nice. They should put that on there.
I'll scrawl it right now.
Okay, well then, since we've got a couple minutes, then I'll do a little wrap up of. All right, so last time I spoke about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I watched the pilot and I said it was fine, but I wasn't really like psyched about any of the characters.
Right.
And then I'm like,
you said some incendiary things.
Did I?
No. Oh,
but I said I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna see how it goes. You know, it's just the pilot. Blah blah. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it'll get better. That sort of thing. So they had another episode.
Yes.
I think my feelings are still the same.
Oh,
that's unfortunate.
Still like not really thrilled with any of the characters.
Are you gonna mm-hmm. get incendiary at this point?
No. I just it
doesn't have enough to get incendiary about.
It's just like, it's a lot cheesier than I thought it was going to be, but it's only been two episodes. Maybe it'll mm-hmm. build, maybe it'll get better. Or
yeah.
It's not, like I think, like I said last time, it's not bad. It just, I was hoping for a lot better.
Yeah, it seems like it's running into the problem a lot of these superhero-ish shows kind of run into, is that I think they realize really quickly that they need an extremely good budget to make superhero stuff look good. And so they end up kind of falling off and going different directions with the stuff. Like, I know I ended up seeing they let the opening, like, 3 minutes of the show out. And so I saw the beginning where they kind of reveal their first hero that they're trying to track down. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of neat, but it didn't look impressive. That's the main failing that I've seen so far. And it seems like once they realize that they can't do that, that they kind of give up in certain ways.
Right now my biggest thing is none of the characters are really all that interesting to me. Except the best character is Ming-Na's character.
Thank you.
She was the
incendiary.
Best thing. She was the best thing about the second episode. She had the best stuff.
That's cool.
She was actually in it more than she was in the first one.
Okay.
But yeah, she is hands down the best character. I think personally of the series.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, so, and then...
Everything that I've seen her in for, like, the last forever has been really good roles for her, I thought. So, I'm constantly impressed by her.
But yeah, check it out for yourself. I'm sure you can see it on ABC.com or Hulu or wherever. I'm sure they want to get it out to as many people as possible to see it. So, let us know if you saw it, if I'm crazy, or if you agree with me. Shoot it up on our Facebook page, post a comment.
Pow.
And then one last show that I didn't get a chance to see, but I finally did because they re-aired the pilot, was The Crazy Ones with Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right.
Okay, so this one, to me, the best parts are when Robin Williams is being more subtle with his humor. When he's kind of going overboard, it's kind of like, it's okay, but it's like, hey, it's Robin Williams going crazy. You know, I think... The show is called The Crazy One, so I guess it kind of fits. But I found, like, his jokes, the funnier jokes for me was when he was a little more subtle with them. Like, I think he's
in a conversation
smooth at
and
that.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. But it was weird because I will agree with a tweet that I saw was, it was kind of like a giant ad for McDonald's.
Like,
Because they're an ad agency. And so it's like the show's sort of perfectly set up to, like, hey, we can, like, do a show on someone's, like, products. So hey, there's like advertisement already on the show, so
product placement
that
achieved.
That could end up being really bad as the show goes on, or clever, so we'll see.
It seems like the key as far as that goes is the product has to be willing to take a few punches. If they're not willing to, that'll create problems really fast.
It was all right. I mean, if you dislike Robin Williams, you are not going to like this show. I'm going to give it a chance. You know, I'll watch a few more episodes and kind of see how it goes. If it gets like way overboard, stupid, then I'll stop. But it was decent. So
okay,
sounds good.
But yeah, I'm sure that is on CBS.com also or wherever. Like, I know CBS doesn't like to stream their stuff on other sites. Like, I think you got to go just to them and stuff. So,
yeah.
So, but I'm sure you can.
I know there was
it.
One exception to that, but I can't remember what it is offhand. So,
oh well. Yeah. But unless there's any last things you want to throw in, I think that's going to wrap up Geek Talk for this week.
I'm good.
Play some music. In fact, I'm going to play the local band Stock Photo with Elevator Music from the album Side One, and then we'll be back with Caleb's Corner. Want to tease the folks real quick?
I'm going to be revisiting a topic from before, but it's going to be about community and technology.
Nice. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Good evening and welcome back to Robots Attack. I am Caleb and this is my section of the show called Caleb's Corner here on KSU FM 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And I get to talk about things that I think are cool. And tonight I am talking about
Twitter.
OpenROV. I've mentioned it in the past. It's been a little while since we heard about them, but they were at the New York Makers Fair and for those who don't know, Make Magazine is a publication that features people sort of doing their own thing and taking technology or the world in which we live and trying and just making something with it. Like the whole idea is to not just be passively sitting by and let products be thrust upon us, but if you see something that you want and it doesn't exist, go and make that exist.
Okay.
That's the basic premise.
That's cool.
And I think that the guys at OpenROV are a good example of this because they started their project, which is an open source robotics project, to build a device that would a submersible that they could use to explore a lake in a cave. Just, you know, a local lake, spelunking. They found a place they couldn't access.
Okay.
And so they wanted to find a way to explore it because it was really cool. So they made a robot that could, you know, that would be affordable enough that people could actually make it on their own, but would be, but would still be sturdy enough that it could be turned into they made the design open so that if people needed to modify it or wanted to modify it for another purpose, like some other form of oceanic research or water-based submersible research, it would be possible to do so. And they have a pretty active community of people that are working on this project, like making their own versions, coming back with their own changes, just kind of like sharing ideas, bouncing off each other. And recently at Maker Faire in New York, they brought out their open ROV design number 2.5. And this one's got a better camera, it's got lights, it's got an upgraded type of housing, so that the material that it's made out of now is naturally buoyant, which means that they can now add more internal bits to make the device more useful without like weighing down more than it would be otherwise. Anyway, there's a lot of really cool things they've been adding and doing, and their community is growing and expanding, and they've worked really hard to make to keep it accessible. So like, you know, most everything in this device is an off the shelf part of one form or another.
Okay.
It's like you don't need to go find this esoteric one place, one person making it. It's like, no, they really worked hard to make it as open as possible. With the 2.5 release, they have created their own baseboard, but the printed circuit board, on which you can build and attach all the other pieces that you would normally use. Now, it's a proprietary piece. It's still an open piece. Like they let
it's very friendly to people.
Yes, it's very friendly to other people that might need to hack it or design it or redesign it in some way. Like, because they all the design files to make it work are accessible to for everyone, so that people can go and make their own. If they don't want to get a printed version from them, they can go make their own if they so desire.
Okay. So they're cool with people kind of,
yes,
modding it, doing their own.
Yeah, the whole point of this open culture is to foster innovation by creating a place where it's okay and it's encouraged to take it and remix it. It's
okay.
You know, or like, you know, say you're looking at the motor design and you think, you know, where I live, I don't need as big a motor, or I need a different type of housing around the propeller, so I designed this, and you can like send it back to them. They may not use it in their design, but it will be a part of the community's design that if someone else goes, hey, that's a really cool thing, I have a similar need or desire, now I have the specs for how to 3D print this piece, or I want to make this other weird usage of it and stuff like that. So that they're improving the basic functions. Like they're working on making it even more buoyant, so you can like add arms and like collecting devices. So they're not there yet. It's still a fairly simple robot right now. It runs off of like, it looks like 6 D cells. I might be misreading the type of battery it's on there, but it's designed to be as simple as possible for everyone to get involved. So it's
get their hands on it,
get excited about it. And I think I think in the interview in the link, they mentioned that like there's other larger research groups that have been looking into taking making more of these robots and like making swarms of them and like having them all interconnect with processors and stuff to make, like, you know, you want to map a reef, but mapping it with one drone at a time is going to be very long. But you make a small fleet of them that are, you know, make a wedge you can fly across.
Bumping into reefs like Roombas.
No, not so much. But like the, you know, there's a lot of these things. There's just a lot of really cool applications that can be made out of like. With something like this, or like a lot of the quadcopter cooperation techniques could probably be applied to similar devices like the Open ROV that would make flocking or grouping.
Say what?
Flocking.
Okay.
Another.
Say it slower.
Pattern. Another pattern-based movements could be really useful for this project. So, there you go. The community has, and one of the things that they talk about in the thing is like how excited they are about their community being so involved with the project. Like there's people that are really passionate about what they're doing and giving back to them, which
is really cool,
really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that they have it all open too for people. Like, oh, and like you mentioned, like the parts aren't like, well, you have to go to this one website, but it's in Korean, so you're going to have to get it translated and then shipped over to this. And, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully, Google can do all that for you at this point. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of. There's a lot that technology has solved, and there's just now community is filling in the gaps, so to speak.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
Very cool. Mm.
Speaking of something else that's cool, Jason,
what do you got for us?
Are you interested in free radio time?
Boy, am I.
KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic at kscu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
All right.
All right. Well, here's something that's not an announcement, but it's music.
Music is still cool.
It's a
quality service that we here at KSU provide to you, our listeners.
Exactly. See, we give you knowledge
at no
and
cost.
Music. Yeah. Yeah. Bam. All right. I'm going to play the track Purple, Yellow, Red, and Blue from Portugal the Man from the album Evil Friends. And then we will be back with Joe's List, where I have found a list of 10 superheroes who still need their own movies.
Sweet.
So if you want to participate, start thinking about some. You can post a comment on our Facebook page. You could tweet us your suggestions. Maybe you agree with this list. Maybe you don't. But that's what's coming up later on after the music. All right, let's get to that music. We are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Get ready for...
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound, and we are in Joe's List. I'm Joe, and I'm giving you a list that I found titled 10 Superheroes Who Still Need Their Own Films.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go through this list. It doesn't appear to be like a top 10, like, okay, this one's number one, this is two, you know, it's just...
No ranking.
Here's
allowed.
10. Exactly. Yeah. Well, at least in this.
No particular order.
Yeah.
Oh, that was exciting.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm going to start off with... all right, I'll hold this mic. Okay, the first one on the list, which is like...
Adventures in Live Broadcast.
You know, a huge, gigantic shock. Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this one, the Wonder Woman starts off the list. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Nope.
There's, you know, especially... The Avengers coming out and, you know, a Marvel television show, all these things. There's been a lot more and more like, hey, where's the Wonder Woman? You know, Batman and Superman are finally getting their own thing, which when you think about it, Batman and Superman are finally getting their own thing. So it seems like DC, it is taking a little longer with DC. So hopefully it doesn't take too long.
DC's had a lot more misstarts than Marvel did. Like, you know, Marvel like really sort of lucked out when they got Iron Man and it became like a big thing, and then Thor was solid. Captain America was sort of all right, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as good as Thor, I think. But anyways, they kind of like lucked into a really good situation to bring in like characters that people have been wanting to see for a while. So that the fact that it took like four
So almost like 6 years between Batman movies before we got to one where we were like, yeah, this is a Batman I actually want to yeah, see.
That's true.
Like we had to wash the taste of Batman and Robin out of our mouths before we could tried to forget that it ever existed before we could move on to the next thing. Thankfully, we did.
But it's good for making funny like movie clips. So
it does have some good pull quotes in it. I'll grant you that. So,
okay. Next on the list, Jason's favorite superhero of all time.
Oh,
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I don't care for him.
Whatever.
I mean, I get the appeal. I mean, it's a lot of power through magical means. So, I mean, that's cool.
You sound unconvinced.
Well, no, I really do get it. It just doesn't. It doesn't resonate with me at all. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think a big thing for me is the costuming has always seemed haphazard at best for that character. It's never, it's always been like, well, we'll try and make him dashing with a mustache, because yeah, that works, and then we'll throw a bunch of colors on him.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate artifact of him being generated in the 70s.
Well, it needs to stop. I mean, we're not living in the 70s anymore.
No, they've redesigned the costume a couple times, but we never seem to quite get away from the originals.
It always has at least four colors, which you don't see in most superhero costumes.
This is true.
And I think there's probably good reason for that.
Details.
Do you think Doctor Strange, since they've kind of gone with more of a... tried to do a realistic, worlds with the newer Marvel properties. Do you think Doctor Strange like could be done in the way that they're doing in this, or
it'd be interesting to see how they work it in, because like the Doctor Strange is part of the mystical side of the Marvel universe, which is relatively
the lame side,
which is. relatively untouched in the modern cinematic universe. Like, they sort of got to it a little bit with the Red Skull in Captain America, but they still made it more of a technology thing. And in Thor, they made it was they're just sufficiently advanced that their technology is like magic.
Yeah.
So, I could see it being kind of a tough sell, but at the same time, I would really like to see that movie, personally. I think that'd be really cool.
I mean, that's cool.
It would have, if they gave it like the proper budget, it would have some awesome special effects, I think.
But that it would. I mean, I've seen some of the cartoons that they've made for that character, and they do some really cool things as far as that that stuff kind of goes. Like having the different spinning like runes in the air and stuff like that. That always looks cool, and that's why it always ends up so disappointing. It's like, well, they make this really cool effect, but he still looks like a clown in a cape with a handlebar mustache. Well, a shrunken handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, this next one on the list, honestly, I've never heard of this character. So,
okay.
The Great Machine.
Yeah,
sounds like an indie one.
No idea.
The description here, probably no comic book explores the idea of with great power comes great responsibility more than Ex Machina.
Oh, Ex Machina. Okay, I have heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. But the book tells the story of Mitchell Hundred, a civil engineer who's exposed to an alien device that gives him the ability to communicate with mechanical devices, as well as the ability to invent complex machines like jetpacks and ray guns, which he uses in crime fighting. Yeah, that sounds like something that would be.
I would see
the next
Machina film. That would be pretty cool. I was not expecting them to call it the Great Machine, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's in a way minus the alien stuff. I mean, it's sort of like Batman.
Yeah.
Like, Mantis. Any sort of like sort of scientist, you know, like
scientist adventurer.
Make a machine sort of thing. Okay. Well, from the Great Machine, since Jason doesn't seem to care about the Great Machine very much.
No, I've read a little bit of it, and I was really impressed, and I need to go back and finish that. But I don't have much to say about it since I don't know the overarching plot of it. So.
Huh.
But would you be down? Would you put the Great Machine on this list of 10?
I don't have all the proper implements, but it was impressive. It had a cool style to it.
Originally written by Brian K. Vaughan, which explains a lot.
Yes, and we'll revisit Brian K. Vaughan at least once in mine.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I know, right?
All right, next on the list of the 10 superheroes who still need their own films.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we've had Wonder Woman, Doctor Strange, The Great Machine, and now this is a team.
Mm-hmm.
The article did mention that they had teams on this list.
Right.
Okay.
Thunderbolts,
okay. What? I remember them coming out. I never actually collected that comic, though. It was sort of like the alternate Avengers, and
I'll read a little description we got. After both the Avengers and Fantastic Four apparently perished in a battle with the supervillain Onslaught, a new team of heroes tried to fill the void, called the Thunderbolts. Their actions quickly earned them the respect and admiration of general public, but what nobody knows is that Citizen Five, or V, I don't know which one.
Five.
Okay. Atlas, Songbird, Mech One, Meteorite, and Techno are really the longtime Avengers enemies, the Masters of Evil.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that was an unexpected turn.
Yeah.
I can see that being really cool, actually. I don't think they'd be able to achieve it, but...
Yeah, it says attempting to integrate themselves with S.H.I.E.L.D. and thus learn valuable secrets that they can sell off to the highest bidder. The Thunderbolts plan worked too well. And some of the villains started seeing themselves as heroes, leading to an inevitable conflict as leader Citizen 5, a.k.a. Captain America nemesis Baron Zemo, continued to pursue the original agenda. So,
yeah,
villains trying to be bad guys, but then like it, and some start to turn. I can see some twists.
Yeah.
It'd almost make a better miniseries than a movie.
Yeah.
Because like that kind of dynamic needs to be developed over a little bit more time.
Yeah. Especially when you deal with a team. It's
like DBZ did the heck out of that. They did a
very
lot
true.
Of that.
It's true. It's true.
Dragon Ball Z, for those who don't know what DBZ is.
Right.
For database
uninformed.
Data. Yeah.
For the audience. And speaking of for the audience, let's give them our last PSA of the night.
Certainly. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us on sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
All right, moving on from the 10 superheroes that still need their own movies, or we've sort of thrown into maybe perhaps even their own miniseries, better suited. We have Bang, Zoom, Pow. With that little hint, who do you think I'm referring to?
It's either 1960s Batman or Deadpool.
Well, your first choice is closer. Who hasn't had their own movie?
1970s Robin?
Well, it's Robin.
Robin. Okay.
Not specifically 1970s Robin, but yeah, it says here the Boy Wonder doesn't get a lot of respect, which is sad because there have been several times in recent history when Robin has not only deserved but earned his place in the spotlight. So what do you think of Robin?
I think Robin could be a good movie, especially if the real question is though, which Robin?
Yes.
Very true. Very true.
There have been several Robins.
Some have died. Some have come back.
Yeah,
some...
there is one storyline that involves two Robins that would be really cool as a movie, I think. And they've already made a cartoon version of it. So.
Oh, that's true. That would be a good one. I can't remember which one. I know which one you're talking about. The name is vacating my brain.
Yeah.
Apologies. But I think that would be pretty cool.
especially like some of the middle two, either of those two, I think could actually stand pretty well on their own. The Damian Wayne, the latest Robin would be cool, but he's better paired off against Batman, like because they have a relationship beyond just Batman and Robin. So
yeah,
wait, what?
They're father and son.
Oh.
So that wouldn't, it, like, it'd be kind of cool to see Damian Wayne movie, but it's better when he's with Batman. Yeah. So.
Do you think Robin would make another better miniseries or series or movie?
I
ask because the things like Arrow is a pretty successful series. Mm-hmm. Smallville has been a fairly successful series. So. Yeah.
I think it could be an interesting series because then you could kind of, you know, deal with some of the aspects of being the sidekick, you know, like, you know, how does that affect his, you know, dealing with the other heroes and potentially with his own striking out on his own career, because that's sort of what brought us Nightwing and all that, because that's when Dick Grayson's like, yeah, you know what, I'm not going to be your sidekick anymore, I can be my own hero. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm sticking with The Tale of Two Robins as a movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice selection there. Okay, moving on. This next one, reading over it, it's not so much a person or persons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place.
A place. What? Okay.
Astro City,
okay.
I'll read the little thing here. Nearly all of Marvel's comic books takes place in New York City, the same metropolis that the publisher is based in real life. But imagine if someone tried to tell stories involving all the Marvel characters in one comic book. That's kind of the point of Astro City, a creator-owned title launched by Kurt Busiek.
Busiek.
Okay. Busiek. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. I apologize. Mm-hmm. In 1995.
Yeah, I remember when that one came out. Like, it got a lot of acclaim. And
hosts a great number of heroes and villains, and the comic tells stories from the points of view of Astro City's various citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Be they super or not super. That was actually one of the more, that one was kind of like Watchmen in a way. Like, it sort of like looked at superheroes in other ways besides superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They looked at them as people.
They say in here, a typical Astro City story involves anything from a day in the life of a superhero, the difficulties of a former supervillain trying to walk the straight and narrow, and what life is like for the so-called normal people who live in a city surrounded by superhero beings and people in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, again, I would say series or miniseries,
yeah,
as opposed to a movie, I think.
Okay.
It'd be a lot to compress into a movie. Just because, like, part of what made Astro City so good is that it made a wide canvas and then a rich array of characters within the canvas, which I thought was really interesting.
I think they've gotten really good. I mean, you couldn't touch the number of characters that you could do in a series, but I think a lot of movies have proven that you can do a really good, conglomerate of characters in the normal 2-hour time frame, like Babel and Crash. I mean, they're very good movies and have a lot of characters to them.
Yeah, it can be done. I would be more interested in seeing that as a series rather than seeing it as a film.
Okay. Well, I don't care what you like. So.
Whatever.
Ugh. All right, next on the list, Black Panther.
Okay. I think that would be a pretty cool flick. It'd be interesting. It's one of the heroes of alternate ethnic origin besides a Western European hero. Yeah. So that would be kind of unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool to have out there. But I don't know enough about the character to really get into it personally, because it's basically Batman from another country, right?
It could a case could be made for that.
Okay.
Simplest terms.
Yeah, that's the most basic understanding of him. There's a certain amount of mysticism to some of the stuff he does, but it's
So I'm against it now.
Again, technology is sufficiently advanced, it seems like magic.
So then you're gonna hate this next selection on the
probably
10 superheroes who still need their own films. We have Starman.
Ah, Starman.
I actually remember, I never finished the series, but I remember reading parts of it. It was really good. The character draws his strength and ability from a magical slash alien rod, which gives him power of flight and energy projection, if memory serves.
Okay. Well, you got me with the alien stuff, so that's kind
of
cool.
The thing that makes it the thing that was one of the other things that made him interesting as a character is that he was one of the superheroes that refused to wear a superhero costume, quote unquote. Mm. He just wore
I'm liking this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just had like the goggle.
Yeah, he had like goggles that were like kind of like signature and the leather jacket. Other than that, it was sort of whatever he happened to be wearing at the time.
Oh, okay. Now I recognize him. Yeah. I have seen that comic in stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the staff will like bolt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
All right, and last on the list is another team.
Mm-hmm.
From Canada.
Alpha Flight?
Oh,
there you
man.
Go.
Really? Okay.
That's on the list. They say if Marvel can greenlight something like Guardians of the Galaxy, and also a sci-fi superhero team that's had its 5 or 6 attempts at a long-running comic series, then why don't they keep stretching by bringing Canada's super team to the big screen?
I mean, there are some cool powers there, I'll give it that, and how could you not love Puck? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with it, but I'm not sure that one would... That one, I don't know, but they have a good point with the, if you're going to make a movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, still, I'm just finding that one be like, I don't know about that one. It'd be interesting to see what they come up with more than anything else.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's been this official list that I found from Zergnet.com for the 10 superheroes who still need their own films. But I asked Caleb and Jason to make their own little small list of some choices, and so
yeah, I only did like 3 or 4 of them, but ended up being teams pretty much.
Yeah, what's one that you think should be getting on?
Number one, back to Brian K. Vaughan, Runaways.
Mm.
Runaways needs. I can understand how it can be absolutely horrible by trying to butcher it up into a smaller thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's such a good story with such unlikely characters and a lot of kind of humor that's sort of trendy right now in a lot of the different dialogue pieces that like Joss Whedon uses and so on. It's very similar conversations to that sort of stuff, and I think it would fit really well. The only thing that I'm sort of afraid of is if it becomes like more popular, and then I'd have to hate it because it's too popular. But other than that, I really want to see that as a movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool. I agree with that. My brain for some reason wasn't always thinking up of superheroes, but comic book characters that I thought needed. I thought deserved a movie.
Okay.
The ones that I came up with was Usagi Yojimbo.
Okay.
Like, it would be...
As animated or live action?
I would think an animated movie would be pretty awesome, but a live action one would be kind of cool as well. It would be more... it'd be essentially an animated feature, but...
Yeah, it sort of reminds me, like, I forget the name of the movie. I never saw the entire thing where it's all kangaroos as...
Oh, I actually did see that movie. It wasn't horrible.
Well, anyway, it just sort of, it seems like it'd be in sort of the same vein, or Tank Girl, her sidekick.
Yeah. Yeah, it could work, but I think it would be in some ways a little bit more successful as an animated feature just because then you could commit to the characters looking a certain way and not having to
compromise on that, yeah. Trying to fit an actual face in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Warriors of Virtue?
Yes.
Yes. I
knew it was gonna be known by somebody in this circle.
I looked it up, but
yeah,
I was like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw it was actually like hanging out at your place like 10 years ago. I think.
Yeah, I remember watching that. Well, that was a fun movie, not necessarily good, but fun. So,
well, that's good.
Hmm. Yeah, so Usagi Yojimbo.
Okay.
Samurai.
One that they've done, like, series after series, or kind of skirted the edges of with a lot of other ones, including one of the ones that was brought up earlier, is Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. I still think it has a lot of potential, just because even by them being characters that are related to characters that have been through kind of the movie ringer,
mm-hmm.
I think it ends up creating kind of a good place, because people don't necessarily need to have the entire backstory for these characters, just knowing that they're kind of the either the offspring of actual
heroes.
Well, like, mentally or in actuality, mm-hmm. of all of these different heroes, I think it creates a lot of good stuff. And plus, it's always been really neat to me having people either with a ton of power that are grappling with trying to learn how to use those powers, but mm-hmm. really want to do something good, and the people who are trying to figure out, like, have a bunch of power and know how to do a lot of stuff, but are trying to figure out how to actually use it for putting good. A group of people together.
Right.
And that series has always grappled with that in a really interesting way, I think, with Superboy and Robin. Mm-hmm. Like, Robin trying to be a leader is always really cool to me.
Yeah, they actually did a really good job of it, I think, with the series. New Young Justice, I thought, did a decent job of exploring some of those topics.
And yeah.
It kind of fell off the rails, which is a different issue entirely. But,
oh, okay.
But yeah, that was, I like that one a lot, too.
Yeah, the little bit that I saw of that, I was really impressed, and definitely lended to me wanting to see this sort of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for the show. Mm-hmm. Definitely let us know if any of those choices you liked, didn't like, which ones you think should be given their own movie or series or whatnot like that. Just go to our Facebook page, post on there, Robots Attack. Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next Thursday from 7 to 9. Definitely stick around. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Awesome stuff. Good music. Way to relax into the evening. Just kick back.
Yeah.
Put on the tunes and
enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.